Hi, I'm Andy Reid.
And I'm Mike Porter.
You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations, which is aired on the third Wednesday of each month from 2 until 3 p.m. on WGXC Acra 90.7 FM.
On each show, invited guests will be asked to discuss a number of items that they intend taking with them on their Catskill Cabin getaway. As we discuss their chosen items, it is hoped that you, the listener, will enjoy getting to know that person a little bit better.
Today's guest is Thomas Reid. Thomas was raised in Scotland in the south side of Glasgow and was the youngest of four children. He attended Bellarmine Secondary School and left with a number of qualifications, which included a higher certificate in art and design. He went on to graduate from Cardonnell College in Glasgow in 2002 with a diploma in graphic design. However, he found it hard to gain full employment in this area. Subsequently, Thomas returned to his childhood dream of playing soccer, and in 2003, he signed for Glasgow Celtic. Well, okay, as a coach. But he assures us that it was an emotional day when he signed on the dotted line. As a youth coach, Thomas worked and coached children throughout Scotland in the hope that one of his students would one day become a top-class soccer player for Celtic. Subsequently, it was soccer coaching that brought him to the States, particularly the Catskill Mountains. Thomas applied for and was chosen to work at a local camp in Delhi, New York. He returned to the camp in 2006 and has been a regular visitor to the local area since then. His experiences at the camp led Thomas to discover a love for helping vulnerable children, and as a consequence, he has spent the last 10 years caring for and promoting the welfare and rights of vulnerable children within the care system, both in Ireland and Scotland. In his spare time, Thomas enjoys exercising, playing his guitar, watching movies, and spending time with his family. Thomas is currently residing in Kinsale, a short distance from Cork in Ireland, with his soon-to-be wife Donna and daughter Winnie, and he is in his third year of an honours degree in psychotherapy. Thomas, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys.
How are you doing?
Oh, good, good. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being on the show, Thomas. This is awesome.
Yeah, and I think we need to say, for the purposes of the remainder of the show, that Thomas is FaceTiming.
From Ireland.
And yeah, and there's a possibility there could be some delay in answering some questions.
Yeah, especially because Ireland are kind of 20 years behind everybody else, and it's kind of...
We're
probably using dial-up at the moment.
We better know, let people from... Cairo or the surrounding areas hear that, that little island here won't be happy about that.
Just yesterday I saw one of those Facebook memes or whatever graphics, and it was an illustration of, you know, the descriptions of world economic systems where it's like, well, capitalism, you have two cows and you milk both and you sell the milk and then you blah, blah, blah. And communism, the government takes both your cows and gives some milk to certain people. So it goes like this through all the economic systems, and then it starts going through countries. And for Ireland, it said, in Ireland, you have two cows. One of them is actually a horse. And then it just cuts off and goes on to the next.
Pretty accurate, though. Thomas, how many horses do you have?
Well, currently, I think I've got four ponies.
Four ponies,
three donkeys.
And what other animals do you have?
We have a peacock, I've got a dog, we had some rabbits, but they get killed.
What happened to the rabbits?
Chickens, seven chickens. The rabbits get killed by the next door neighbour's dogs.
Kind
of
nice.
upset my daughter very much.
Well, it would do, I mean, because I'm sure she had names for the rabbits, and when she went out one day and they weren't there, I'm sure it's a traumatic experience.
Yeah, it was.
Well, that's unfortunate, but let's try and let's try and look at and talk about things that are...
Let's move on from that.
This is the worst show ever.
Oh, my God.
Where's Fluffy?
You're eating him. So Thomas,
I'm sorry, while we're thinking of that, have you guys ever seen the book of bunny suicides?
I have not, no.
It is hilarious. You know, like the Far Side, you know, Far Side cartoons?
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's really witty stuff like that, but all bunny suicides. So it's things like a bunny is on one side of a teeter-totter sitting in a strainer, and on the other side is a bowling ball. So the bunny jumps onto the teeter-totter strainer, the bowling ball pops up, and then squashes the bunny through the strainer. It's all stuff like that. It's hilarious. You got to check it out.
I didn't even know a book like that existed. There you go. I've learned something new. So, Thomas, tell us about this community soccer coaching for your beloved Celtic. How did that come about?
Well, first I'll tell you a story. I remember when I was a five-year-old, six-year-old boy playing soccer in school, and I was pretty good. I'd say I was one of the best in my class at that age.
Laughing at the back there. Sorry.
I was one of the youngest to play for the school team. I was in primary three, and I got chose to play left back, position on the park, that is. I was pretty good. And I said to myself, I'm going to sign for Celtic. On my 16th birthday, I'm going to just go up to Celtic Park and sign for Celtic. That was it. I was naive, obviously. But obviously, it never happened. My football career didn't go the way I wanted it to go. So, and I eventually got the interview for Celtic to go and sign for them as a coach. It was on my 26th birthday, and I was in one of the director's boxes getting my interview, and I signed the contract looking out onto the pitch. So, yeah. I finally got to do it. But 10 years later, I finally got to do it. So it came about our older brother Brian, he kind of got me involved in coaching. I went and obtained my badges through the SFA, Scottish Football Association, and became a coach in the local area in Glasgow, working for two local authorities, subsequently Celtic. And it was working in the area in Glasgow, different groups, vulnerable groups, ranging from the ages of 5 to 16. It was great. Loved it. The only thing was, it was, you didn't have a set schedule where you were working. One week you'd be working with one group of kids, the next week you'd be working with a different group of kids. So it wasn't consistent. So you couldn't really kind of build up a rapport with the kids, because changing all the time.
So you got to be employed by the club that you loved.
Yeah.
And that says something, doesn't it?
It does.
It kind of partially lives a dream. Did you manage to run out in Celtic Park?
No.
No.
But I did get free Celtic jerseys and Celtic shorts and t-shirts and shoes and stuff.
Now, Thomas, I have a question for you. You didn't have the opportunity to play for Celtic, but what if another team had recruited you? Say, I don't know, maybe the Rangers or something like that. Would you have signed on the dotted line then?
Andy, give him a slap.
I think it's fair to say that...
The answer would be no.
Wow. Yeah.
I think it's fair to say that any self-respecting Celtic fan would never entertain the mere notion of signing for... The Rangers died essentially about 2 or 3 years ago, and no matter who tries to kid themselves on, the club went into receivership, and subsequently the company died. And something else came out of the dust of that, and they're called the Rangers. So, but if you ask any self-respecting Celtic fan, it's a firm no.
Even for incredible sums of money.
Thomas, you can answer that one.
$1 million a year.
Well, the way I would look at it is, obviously, we've all spoken about this. Your main club is Celtic. You love Celtic. If Rangers asked you, well, if Rangers were offering you that money, there would always be another club offering you the same money. So yeah.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah. That's a good point. So... Whew, I'm glad you said that.
Anyway, I was only earning 10 pounds an hour. So.
Right. Well, that's but what's come out of that is though that you have continued to work with children in other areas. Can you tell us more about working with vulnerable children and you know how that links in with the psychotherapy degree that you're doing? And
yeah, when I was coaching. When I came to New York in 2004,
right.
The kids I was working, you've mentioned it, were from inner city New York, disadvantaged kids. And I found I had I struck up a great rapport with them. I was able to talk to them on their level.
Kneeling down and stuff like that. Yeah, sorry. You want to go for a beer, son?
But yeah, so so it was something I was like, I really enjoy this. I enjoy listening to them and trying to help them. Right. I could identify with a lot of them for where I grew up, you know, the kids I went to school with, and the people who were in my area and in my circle of friends, I could identify with them. So it allowed me then to kind of identify where I wanted to go with my career.
Right.
So then I studied child and youth development. And started working in residential units with kids that were being placed in care. And I worked in a number of residential units, both in Scotland and in Ireland, over the past, well, since 2007. Prior to that, before I was working in residential, I was working with vulnerable kids in a hospital setting who had they'd many problems related to their breathing, where they needed like tracheostomies and stuff like that.
Right.
So I was working with them, supporting them.
And that must be stressful at times, because you must get attached to kids, and then if something happens to them or you need to move on, then that must be, you know, there must be... Because you obviously have to give something of yourself emotionally in order to strike up a relationship. And then if you're leaving that kid and moving on to something else, then there's obviously that break, you know. It's the same, must be the same with you, Mike, at school when you have that rapport with kids at school. And if unfortunately something happens to one of the kids, or the kids actually move on prematurely, or they leave the class, you know. So there must be that.
No, right. Definitely.
You know, emotional disattachment.
People in roles like that, I think, you know, therapists and social workers and teachers, you have to be really emotionally strong, because inevitably there's going to be some heartache one way or another, I think, and just part of the job.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much so. I think it was kind of brought home to me, I don't want to sound somber, but the past few months it was brought home to me. One of the kids I worked with in Scotland, I found out a year or so after he left care. I was his key worker for 3 years. He took his own life.
Yeah, that's
And that had a profound effect on me.
Right.
Because I didn't realise how much I actually gave. How much I invested in the young people's lives until I heard about that, you know?
Right, yeah.
But I mean, I think your original question was how did I get into psychotherapy? Counselling was always something I was really interested in. When I started working in residential care, I went and I was working as a volunteer counsellor, alcohol and drugs counsellor. And I loved it. I loved that I had the ability to speak to somebody and not judge them. I mean, I had guys coming in and sitting in front of me who had been, who were in court for sexual offences and beating their wives and a lot of different things. And I was able to sit and look at them and listen to them and take on board what they were saying and say to myself, there was a reason why those guys done those things. And that I was, it gave me a sense of power for some. It's a bizarre thing. It gave me a sense of power, and I knew I was good at it.
So you, basically that, knew that was where you wanted to be then.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So.
And you know, the people say that if you get up every morning, go to your work, and you're doing something you truly want to be doing, you're not really working.
Yeah.
You're doing something. So. So that's great. I'm glad to hear that. And obviously, I know you very well. You're my wee brother, but I know that you're great at that. So good, excellent, fantastic.
Thomas, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen The Big Lebowski?
Tell me about this Big Lebowski.
It's one of the greatest movies of all time, written and directed by the Coen brothers.
Shut up, Mike.
I'm stealing all Andy's
Mike.
Stuff.
Mike, you don't need to tell me. I am I'm seeped in The Big Lebowski.
Nice.
One day I saw Thomas, it was either pictures or I saw him physically dressed up as The Big Lebowski, standing holding Folgers can.
As the dude.
Yes.
The dude, yeah.
Actually, that's what he calls himself, the dude.
Yeah. I'm the dude.
So that takes us on, obviously, to the first song that you've picked. What is the first song you picked, Thomas?
Wuthering Heights.
Wait a minute.
Just Dropped In by Kenny Rogers.
Okay.
Great song. There's a line in it that I love. It's, I push my soul into a great dark hole and then I followed it in. I can't remember the rest of it, actually.
It's that memorable then.
It's that memorable.
And for those listening, the connection here is that Just Dropped In was in The Big Lebowski.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be honest with you. I mean... obviously, I know the song, and you know the iconic part in the movie when he, you know, when I say he, the dude, i.e., who's the dude, Thomas?
Oh, Jeff Lebowski, Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges is going down the bowling alley. You know,
can I tell you a story about that?
Hold on, one second. He's floating, and there's women's legs are open, and he's looking up their skirts, and he's going down, and that song's on. I think that's the iconic part of that movie with that song. But I'll be honest with you, I didn't realise that song was sung by Kenny Rogers. I've always associated Kenny Rogers with The Coward of the County and Ruby, Don't Take Your Love to Town, and you know, Run. Sausages.
Kenny Rogers Roasters, chicken.
Chicken, is it?
Can I tell you a quick story about that scene?
Yes.
On that particular day, I listened to an interview with Jeff Bridges, and he said on that particular day, for some reason, he brought his daughters and his wife to the set and never realised that was the scene he was going to be doing. So when he started it, he was on a skateboard and he was going under the woman's legs, and when he came under the first woman's legs, he noticed, like, on the leotard, all this pubic hair sticking out. And then as he went under the next one, there was more, and then there was more, and there was more all the way along. And the expression you see in his face, that's him going, what? And apparently it was his wife and his daughters that were in on a joke, and they were in on a joke.
They'd set that up?
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah. That's great. So we hear the song. And let people know and enjoy the music that we're talking about. Kenny Rogers, and well, it's actually Kenny Rogers and the First Edition is the full name of the band. Kenny Rogers was only part of the band. He wasn't it wasn't his band. It was he was part of the band. Kenny Rogers and the First. They were actually called First Edition first, and then later became known as Kenny Rogers and the First Edition.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, what condition my condition was in. I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in. I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky. I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, what condition my condition was in.
I pushed my soul in a deep, dark hole, and then I followed it in. I watched myself crawling out as I was crawling in. I got up so tight I couldn't unwind. I saw so much, I broke my mind. I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
That was just dropped in by Kenny Rogers and the First Edition. Great choice, Thomas. Great song.
Thank you. Thank you.
Leaves us with the firm memories of a great movie in The Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
So the next item you want to take with you, or the first non-musical item. Well, it is actually a musical item because it's a guitar. I know why you want to take the guitar, but why a guitar?
Well, obviously you can't take anything electronic, or so it's just an acoustic guitar. I'm going to be on myself, so just play some of my favourite songs and just kind of do a bit of finger picking.
Nice. Do you think it will help you if you're on those long lonely nights, and it'll help keep you from being petrified in the woods?
obviously, if you play, Mike, do you play the guitar?
I do not.
Do you play an instrument?
Yeah, I played the trombone growing up, but not the guitar.
No. Well, if you play the guitar, you know you can just sit for hours and just kind of just make up little melodies and stuff. You know, it just you could sit with it for hours and not realise you're sitting with it for hours, you know.
Right.
And just kind of play away. Obviously, you can just kind of play small songs and maybe try and make up songs and take your mind away from things, you know.
So what type of music do you think you would play?
I love Johnny Cash. It's a lot. It's easy to play as well, because I'm not the greatest guitar player.
Right.
Some Beatles. You know that I'm a Beatles fan, a Beatles fanatic.
Yep.
So,
I'm actually surprised that you never without giving it away, what the rest of your songs are. I'm quite surprised you never picked a John Lennon or a Beatles song. So,
well, I said to myself, there's many. I've got hundreds of songs that I love and are very poignant to me. And I was like, well, everybody knows who knows me knows that I love the Beatles, so they're sick of it. I was going to play some Creedence. I was going to, because I loved Creedence Clearwater Revival. There's many bands, many artists I could have played, but I thought there's some songs that just kind of remind me of certain points in my life.
Right.
Some of them.
Excellent. Now, just a couple of tidbits about guitars. Did you know that most guitars, albeit, have six strings? But there are many different numbers of string guitars. Obviously, there's a 4-string and a 12-string. But did you know that there were some rare guitars that have 7, 8, 9, and 10 strings? I didn't know that. Did you?
Incredible.
Did not know that.
So there you are.
Have you ever heard of C6 Steve?
Who?
C6 Steve.
I have not. No.
Oh, C6 Steve. I have heard of that. Yeah.
Yeah. He plays a guitar with like 2 strings on it.
Huh.
He plays it's a 6-string guitar, but he's only got 2 strings on it.
Interesting. Huh.
I was watching a little thing about Willie Nelson. I was looking up some of the music yesterday before ahead of the show, and there was this thing about Willie Nelson, and it was talking about Trigger, his guitar, and he was talking about the guy that influenced him. It was just a guy who used 2 fingers. And I forget who right at this moment who this guy was, but. He only used 2 fingers to play the guitar, and it's kind of similar to Richie Havens, and Richie Havens kind of played a kind of sliding type of guy, unconventional type of guitar chords, you know, and it was more of a kind of rhythm guitar playing as opposed to picking guitar, you know.
Yeah.
So that was excellent. So anyway, let's move on, because you know, I'm aware of the time. And we need to move on, but...
Your next song, Thomas, is You Can Call Me Al by Paul Simon. This was part of Paul Simon's Graceland album. He released... he was inspired after his visit to South Africa, and he incorporated a lot of the music he came across into that particular album. I found out he didn't like the first music video that they made for this song. It was actually the filming of a performance that he gave while on SNL, one of his monologues. He did this song, and that was the music video. But he didn't like it, so a replacement was conceived by Lorne Michaels, and that's the more well-known video where Chevy Chase is there lip-syncing all of Simon's vocals, and Simon gets up frustrated and walks away and does other things. So why this song?
When I remember the song, it was in 1986. And I remember when I was a kid, my sister used to take me to school, take me to primary school. She was a couple of years ahead of me. And I remember every morning when I went along to her friend's, Carol Davidson, went along to her friend's house, the song was on, and I always thought it must have been number one, but it was never number one in the UK. But it was on every single morning in the house. And I remember, I was like, wow, I love this song. This is so good. And I remember particular one morning, it was like 100 mile an hour winds. And Carol Davidson's dad had to pick me up and carry me to school. Well, the other 2 kids were walking like close into him, you know. And I always remember me sitting watching that song and him just walking over and picking me up. And it, I don't know, bizarre memory. bizarre memory, but I always remember I loved that song, and every time I hear that song, I think of that time, being 5 years old. And
being picked up by a man. No, but, you know, I think kids in this school, or, you know, people in general in this school, don't realise how strong the winds get in Britain, in Ireland, and, you know, what we had to contend with as kids. And if the wind was half as strong as it was at its peak in Britain, the kids, the schools would be closed here, you know.
Wow.
I couldn't get to the high-rise block that we lived in, Kenneth said, and I couldn't get there because the winds were too strong. Myself and Maureen McGrath was one of my neighbours' daughters. And like you, Thomas, it was this man, must have been coming home from his work or something, and he took both our hands and he helped us to fight through the gale and get to the get to the entrance of the block, you know.
Wow.
Do you remember, I think it was maybe 1997-98 at Christmas, the winds were so strong, myself and my mum and dad were in the living room, in the kitchen, we watched the bus shelter disintegrate.
That's right. And
wow.
And I remember a van blew onto the grass.
Yeah,
and
part of the panels of the
high-rise flat blew off, and unfortunately, another sad story to add to that. There, the local doctor, the local GP, was up on his roof trying to fix his antenna for his television, and he fell off the roof. The wind caught him, and he died.
Yeah,
yeah. So strong winds are continually you would think nothing nowadays of a 70 mile an hour wind in Scotland is nothing, whereas in America it's don't go out, folks. So shall we hear the song then? And cool. Thomas can think about being carried by Mr. Davison to school.
I want a shot of redemption. Don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard. Bone digger, dogs in the moonlight. Far away, my well-lit door. Just a beer belly, get these mutts away from me, you know. I don't find this stuff amusing anymore. If you'd be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Betty. Betty, when you call me, you can call me out. A man walks down the street, he says, why am I short of attention? Got a short little span of attention, and oh, my nights are so long. Where's my wife and family? What if I die here? Who'll be my role model now that my role model is gone, gone? He ducked back down the alley with some roly-poly little bat-faced girl. All along, incidents and accidents, there were hints and allegations. If you'd be my bodyguard, I can be your long lost pal. I can call you Betty, and Betty, when you call me, you can call me out. Call me out.
You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC Acura 90.7 FM. That was You Can Call Me Al by Paul Simon. Today, we have Thomas Reed calling in from Ireland on the show.
I was just telling Mike while we were listening and watching the video there, when I was 16 and that song was in the charts, I didn't know who Chevy Chase was. And I remember watching the video thinking for a long time that actually he was singing the song.
Yeah.
But obviously it wasn't. So
do you know the song itself? Paul Simon was at a party. I think how it came about was he was at a party, him and his wife was called Peggy, and some woman was like, she was talking away to them. She said, "What's your name?" And he's like, "Paul." And he's like, "Al." She's like, Al. And he's like, "No, Paul." She's like, "No, all right, Al." And then same with the wife, and she thought she was saying Betty. So Paul Simon was writing a song, he was saying, I'll call you Betty and you call me Al.
That's what it's called. I see. Interesting how, you know, some situations just create a song, you know.
Yeah.
Actually, I was listening to an interview with Johnny Cash, and he was in Ireland. He said he was in Ireland and he was going through all these towns and he just wrote down all the names of the towns and he wrote a song about all the names of the towns in Ireland. I can't remember the name of the song, but yeah, you can look it up. But I found that
quite interesting. That's the Irish town song.
Yeah, shut up, Thomas.
Now, Thomas, the next thing you'd like to bring is fishing gear. Now, what kind of gear specifically? What kind of fishing?
Fly fishing. I started fly fishing about 6 years ago. Something I always wanted to do. I love fishing. I used to go a lot with my mates and when I was in Scotland. Used to go camping, do some bait fishing. But my friend Pete he's a really accomplished fly fisherman, and he taught me how to fly fish. And since then, it's kind of the only fishing I'll do. Especially, it's great when you've got time yourself, you know, to go and do some fly fishing, and it's relaxing.
And you're fishing for trout when you fly fish?
Yeah, trout predominantly. I'd like to start fishing for salmon, but I need to change my rods and stuff like that for that, so it's going to take me a bit of money.
Salmon are a little bit bigger, right?
Salmon are bigger. The rods are bigger as well.
You caught the record trout in 118 years, coming in at 24 pounds.
Wow.
Which is 11.8 kilos. Is that how you say it in Scotland, kilos?
Yeah.
11.8 kilos.
Where was it caught?
I don't remember.
No?
I couldn't pronounce it. It was off the coast of something and in a river.
Thomas sent me a picture of a trout he caught. It must have been about how many pounds was that big trout you caught? I'll show you when we finish.
12 and a half pounds, that was.
Wow. It was a big fish anyway.
You ever eat them, Thomas?
Sorry?
You ever catch them and eat them? Fry them up?
Yeah, I wouldn't catch them, and I wouldn't throw. I don't like throwing them back. I don't see the point of fishing and throwing the fish back.
No. But what if you catch a small one, though?
Well, it's good for a small sandwich.
Now, in certain parts of Scotland, they don't call trout trout. They call them trout.
Trout.
So I remember going fishing with Thomas and his mate. Actually, Thomas's mate, Big Pete, he...
Down-to-earth guy, by the way.
Yeah, down-to-earth guy, yeah. He was... His uncle did play for Celtic. He's a famous Celtic player.
Wow.
Roy Aitken. But we went fishing, we went camping and we went fishing, and every time he spoke about the fish, he was calling them trout. Trout.
And you're like, and I it's just found trout.
That, yeah, I found that funny. I was like, it's trout. Trout, trout. He stays down in the Ayrshire coast. Mm.
Thomas, do you tie your own flies and make your own bait?
I've attempted to tie some flies, but I've never caught a fish on any of them, so I've kind of retired them.
Sure.
Unsuccessful. To be honest with you, I'm not getting a lot of time to fly fish at the moment, due to having a family and in school and stuff. So
sounds like you could use a Catskill cabin weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could actually.
And maybe you can catch some trout.
Maybe.
And
just don't use your own flies.
No.
Now, the next song you want to take with you, Thomas, is a song by a wee Scottish guy who stays no far from where you grew up. Who is that?
Paul Lunatini.
Paul Lunatini. The song is what?
It's a song called Candy.
Candy. Now, Paul Lunatini, it has to be said, is a good Tim, isn't he? He's a good Celtic fan.
He is. He's a very... very big Celtic fan.
He's one of us, isn't he?
I've never actually met him. A couple of my mates have met him on nights out in Glasgow, and he's a big Celtic fan.
Yep.
You're telling me he's Glaswegian, grew up in Glasgow?
Well, just outside of Glasgow, yeah.
Because his name does not sound Scottish to me.
Well,
whatsoever.
In Scotland there's a lot. There's an influence of different types of races. You've got Irish, obviously, plays a big part in Scottish culture. And growing from like the 40s, 50s and 60s, you have Indian, Pakistan,
Italian,
influence.
Portuguese.
But
the Italian
influence has been big in Scottish culture. And one of the things they were known for, and I don't want to sound stereotypical, was having fish and chip shops and ice cream vans and things like that. And I think his father did actually, and maybe still does, own a fish and chip shop. And I think it was expected. I think it was expected that he would continue on and maybe run the fish and the chippy for his mum and dad. But he chose music. His grandfather was into music, and he chose music. So anyway, Thomas, you were talking about Paul Lunatini. I cut you off there. So
the song itself. I love the song. I started listening to them a lot when I moved from Glasgow to Fort William. And the song came out 2009, and it was just run about the time myself and Donna kind of agreed, we're going to be together, kind of thing, forever. We're going to get married.
She was giving you some candy.
Yeah, so to speak.
Right.
But the song itself, it's just, as soon as I heard it, I went, wow, great song, love it. Right. And when my daughter was born, the first minute I entered the car, first song I heard, that's what it was.
Oh, excellent.
So I love it every time I hear it.
It brings back a lot of memories.
Yeah.
I was perched outside in the pouring rain, trying to make myself a sail. Then I'll float to you, my darling, with the evening on my tail. Although not the most honest means of travel, it gets me there nonetheless. I'm a heart.
some candy before I go. After my hug, for I'm often found explaining, but the hurt plays out all the same. And although I'm left defeated, it gets held against my name. I know you got plenty to offer, baby, but I guess I've taken quite enough. While I'm some stain there on your bedsheet, you're my diamond in the rough. Darling, I'll bathe your skin, I'll even wash your clothes. Just give me some candy before I go. After my heart, I know that the writing's on the wall, but darling, I'll bathe your skin, I'll even wash your clothes. Just give me some candy after my hug. Oh, and I'll be there waiting for you. Know that I'll be there waiting for you. Oh, I'll be there waiting for you.
That was the unmistakable Paolo Nutini with Candy. Good song, Thomas.
Thank you.
Now we're going to push along, Thomas, because we're starting to run out of time here. So we're going to move into your final song.
The song is "You Are My Sunshine" by the Soggy Bottom Boys, and this was featured in the film "Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?" Also by the Coen Brothers. Just like
Big Lebowski, yeah.
Big Lebowski.
Great movie. Why this song? Why these artists?
I love a great song. But my mum used to sing this song to me when I was a kid to get to sleep. And I have subsequently, I sing that to Winnie, my daughter, every single night before she goes to bed. This is the song I sing here. She asks for it. As soon as she asks for it, I know that's her tired. So,
that's
yeah,
cool.
Love it. It's great so song.
The other night, dear, as I lay sleeping, I dreamed I held you in my arms. But when I woke, dear, I was mistaken. I'm
You Are My Sunshine by the Soggy Bottom Boys from the movie Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? I think that was, what'd you call him's best movie?
George Clooney.
George Clooney's best movie.
Outstanding.
I think.
Yeah, great movie.
It's very.
Great movie.
Yeah, I think it was hard for him to do something better than that. So, classic movie. And what was it from again? It kind of mirrored...
Based on Homer's Odyssey.
Yes.
Some of the parallel themes you see there is like the Cyclops that's played by John Goodman.
Right.
Big gentleman with the eye patch.
There's a theme here. John Goodman, he was in Big Lebowski.
Yeah, it was the Coen brothers that made the both movies.
Yeah. I've noticed that a lot of directors, they get a hold of actors and they just love working with them, and they work with them over and over. Quentin Tarantino, he's, what is it, Maddox?
Yeah, Mathurman.
Uma Thurman, likes working with Uma Thurman. Samuel L. Jackson.
Yep.
Oh, have you guys seen the trailer, teaser trailer for The Hateful Eight?
No.
It's Tarantino's newest movie. If you're into his kind of stuff, then...
The Hateful Eight?
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Oh, I need to see that. Ew.
I don't know. We'll see. His last one.
Django.
Django kind of caught me in a bad day. I was hungover. And I watched it, and I was physically sick. So
you don't know if it was the booze or the movie?
But both.
All right, so let's move on. We've not got very much time left, unfortunately. One thing you want to take with you, well, two items you want to take with you, well, let's combine the two of them. Pencil and paper and a soccer ball. So
yeah, I think, pencil and paper, just basically do a bit of drawing, you know, a bit of...
doodling.
Yeah, just to kind of keep my mind going. Somebody having a coughing fit there.
Yeah, yes. Next door, actually. So maybe we should check, see if they're okay,
yeah,
if they're
sure
alive.
Okay.
But, yeah, we'll just wait. We'll wait till the show is finished.
So just, I love doing a bit of drawing, you know. That's basically it. I can do a bit of writing as well.
What kind of drawing do you like? Do you like to do caricatures? Do you like to do landscapes? What kind of things?
I like doing kind of caricatures or kind of portraits, you know.
Right.
So it would be good if I was there, I would be kind of try to do some portraits from my memory.
Right.
You know, so,
the soccer ball. The soccer ball. Just every Scotsman must have a soccer ball at their feet at some point. If they're idle, you know, it's like, well, where's the ball?
Yeah.
Is there a particular type of ball that you'd like to have around?
Yeah, just a round one.
Not like an American style football. Come on.
No. That's a rugby ball.
If I did have a choice, I would say the 86.
Yep.
Yeah.
That the Tango.
Tango ball.
The Tango.
I remember playing Sabutio and we had the 1986.
Actually, I think the Tango was 1982, if I believe. Argentina?
No, I don't think. Was it? Was it no 86?
Anyway, the Tango. Scotland. The Tango.
Aye.
I love the Tango as well. It just brought back some good memories. But a great ball. What's your keepy up record?
When I was a kid, I could do about 600 or something.
Wow.
But actually, about 3 weeks ago, it was me and the boy in the work were doing. He started and he'd done 34. And I done 228.
Well, that's slightly better than me. I think I can do about 50.
Yeah, and I can do one.
No, you probably could do about 3 or 4.
Yeah, maybe.
So, but anyway, all right. So we've come to the end of the show, Thomas. It's been obviously, you know, I say this a lot, but I truly mean it. We could obviously speak for a couple of hours. On 3-4 hours on many things, but obviously we've only got an hour window, so we need to wrap it up, unfortunately. But before we go, we like to ask our signature question, and Mike, take it away.
Thomas, how do you take your coffee? This is good.
What kind of coffee are you talking here?
I'm talking, you get up in the morning and you're going to work and you need a cup. What's your go-to?
Right, I've got my stovetop.
We don't need a thesis here, just go on with it.
All right then, so it would be double espresso with a small amount of hot milk and one sugar.
One sugar? Nice. I thought you took honey in your coffee.
I've reverted back to brown sugar.
I've actually started and enjoy honey in my coffee. Yes. So there you go. Well, you're a man of my own heart. Some strong coffee is always required by me in the morning. So, very good. I've taught you well. Thomas, thank you very much for being on the show. We love you. Loved your songs and we loved your stories. And obviously, I love you as my wee brother. So, thank you for being on the show.
Cheers. Thanks, guys. Hi, I'm Thomas Reed, and you've been listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC Accra, 90.7 FM. Special thanks to George, Gordon and Billy from the band White for the theme music, and to everyone at WGXC. Thank you.